Okay. One interesting thing about the Course is it presents heaven as really a great place, but it doesn't hardly tell us anything about heaven. So it says, heaven's really great, trust me. You know, so let everything go and return to heaven because it's really going to be great. But the funny thing I find about Course in Miracles students, nobody questions that. They just say, well, if heaven's going to be great, that's good enough for me, you know. And they don't really question about what heaven is or why heaven would be great or why heaven would be better than this. Outside there won't be any pain there, and a lot of people are in pain. So they think it would be heaven just to not have a lot of discomfort. So I wrote a chapter on what the Course in Miracles says heaven is not and what heaven is. Now in my writings on the Course in Miracles, I try to write dispassionately about what the Course in Miracles actually says rather than what I think or somebody else thinks. Okay, so I try to go by what it says. And I'm the only one I know that's written about it that way, because everybody else that writes about it has their preconceived ideas and they want to go along with those ideas. And so they miss a lot of stuff that I think it really says. Whereas my attitude on this is I don't have a dog in this fight. You know, if the Course in Miracles is absolutely false, I'm fine with it. If it's from Jesus, I'm fine with that. It doesn't really matter, but it's like the fundamentalist Christians, you know, the Bible, if the Bible isn't true, well, their life is destroyed. Their faith is completely shattered and gone. And that's the way some of the Course in Miracles students are. If the Course in Miracles isn't the way I think it is, then my life is over, you know. And so they have a lot of them have a fundamentalist attitude toward it. But I tried to look at it as dispassionately as possible. 100% dispassion may be impossible, but I tried as much as I could to just look at what the Course is actually saying, rather than what I think it might be saying. So what heaven is not. It tells us more about what heaven is not than what heaven is. So one of the chapters I wrote is what heaven is not. And here's just a couple things from it. There's no need to clarify what one in the world can understand. No one on earth can grasp what heaven is or what its one creator really means. Nor is there any need for us to try to speak of what must forever lie beyond words. Heaven can never be described. So that's what heaven is, some things that heaven is not. Then it says, for we cannot speak of, for you to go from there to where words fail entirely, into a silence where language is unspoken, yet surely understood. So heaven is a place where there's no language that's spoken. It's an unspoken language, but there's complete understanding. Then it also tells us that heaven is a place where there's no games also, which is kind of a bummer in a lot of ways. It, you'd think they would have some big building you could enter in heaven, and you enter this building and we have limitations again and we could play football and stuff like that.
Just take your summer vacation back on
it. Yeah.
They might have tests.
But they have quizzes. Choirs there.
Well, yeah, that's what they say. There's a lot. Matter of fact, in not only heaven, but in the afterworld, there's a lot of these near-death experiences, they hear beautiful music. They say the music and colors that they've never seen on the earth, and just beautiful music. They're looking forward to hearing that music again.
Is that the same place as all souls?
What say?
Heaven that you're talking about right now?
Yeah.
Is that the kingdom of the souls?
What the Course in Miracles calls heaven is where the monad is, okay? And the kingdom of the souls is the in-between state. A Course in Miracles calls that the real world. Now, what heaven is, it calls it a place of love, peace, truth, creation, and sharing. That's basically it, and I wrote quite a bit about each one of them. But it talks quite a bit about sharing. It says that God did not want to be alone. He wanted other beings to be able to share with, and that's why he created. And creation is sharing, and then loving that which you create. Because it says that once you become a creator, you love that which you create. So if you say you write a song or a story or a journal, that's very precious to you, because that's your own creation. So you have a love for that, because that's, you're pouring yourself into it. And the Course points out that this was God in creating us. He poured himself, all of himself, into Rain over here. She's got all of God poured into her. And he wants to share all of himself with her. But her problem here down in this world is she doesn't realize who she is. So we have to come back to this realization of who we are.
You know, I got that message to the master. One of the visualizations that we did, one of the meditations that we did.
Yeah.
We went to a place where the masters were for me. They were sitting around a dining room table.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of having a conference.
Yeah.
And I was very smaller than them, but I was kind of walking around them. Kind of like Helen Keller, you know, blind and deaf and dumb and walking around the table looking for food. It was kind of like that. And one of the masters looked over at me and said, "Oh, look, she doesn't even know who she is." Now, they didn't say that, but
that's the impression you got.
The download of information came, and I got to put words to it, and it was very much, "She doesn't know who she is."
Hmm. Yeah, and that's our trouble with all of us. We don't know who we are, and God wants to share everything with us, and that's why God didn't want us to come here, because he couldn't share himself fully with us when we're in this dream state. And so he feels an emptiness for part of his sonship that is here. He wants us back so he can share with us fully. Yeah, Adam.
When you talk about creation before time and space existed, that God created us, I assume that's creation on it with an understanding that we don't comprehend. That is, all monads have always existed, correct? We've always been part of God's body, so...
Yeah, it points out that he created us, but then it gives hints that about when you examine what it means by creation, it doesn't necessarily mean to bring out of nothingness, but it means to take something there and alter it. Okay, so according to those esoteric teachings, our monad has always existed in the divine space. And what I got from my reading of the Course in Miracles was that, and matter of fact, it even indicates that God himself was created. But when I presented this idea to the Course in Miracles students, they thought I was crazy, you know, because they couldn't see it, even though I give them the quotes to prove it. It just went over their heads. Creation in the Course in Miracles is merely, it talks about the God in the beginning, when he created you, that he shared himself with what you were at that time, whatever that was, a point in divine space, a monad. So God, in other words, took your monad, according to the Course, the way that I would read it, and he decided to make you one of his children and to share everything he had with you. And that made you an entirely different being than you were before. Before, you were just a point in divine space with unlimited potential. So he took that unlimited potential and he stimulated it, and he shared himself with it, and then you had all the attributes that God had, including the ability to create. So then you also had this ability to approach other monads, share yourself with them, so that they could become like you. And every time there was this sharing, there's total equality because everything is shared. And then when you join in the godship, so to speak, you are conscious of everything in the universe. The universe is like your realm. Yeah.
You said something created the Father itself. So what quote does that, where is it in the Course in Miracles that it says that?
You'd probably be best to read my chapter on that. I don't explain it that way in my book, because I have to speak to the consciousness of the Course in Miracles students. But I do talk in there about how that God, the Course indicates that God himself had a creation, and that's indicated in the Course itself, and that we had an existence before our creation. That's insinuated in the book itself. Then it tells us that one of the things that we're supposed to learn is we did not create ourselves, that God created us. So we existed, I think, before our creation, but the composite entity, which is God, took our monad into its sphere and then stimulated it and shared everything with it. So that which is our individual monad become part of the collective, part of the Borg.
Existence is futile.
Yeah, except I guess it's a good Borg.